Time now for the big questions on a Tuesday. Seth has said early this week that the Texans have to draft an offensive tackle in 9 days at 23 overall. Do they have to draft a tackle at 23, Paul?
I don't think so. I think they should draft a cornerback with that first pick. I understand that there's a lot of guessing over if cornerbacks are going to fall to the second round or if tackles are going to fall to the second round. And I would guess, based off of history, that it's more likely for corners to fall than tackles, because tackles are at such a premium these days, and you're seeing such a hesitance to go after them in free agency. But I feel if you want to contend this coming season for a championship, you need to have a better secondary, because you're just going to get gashed, I think, with the current secondary that you have. And Seth, I know that you think it's all about the offensive line. I don't entirely disagree. Like, that probably is the smarter thing to go after long-term for the Texans. But considering I felt that this was a two-year project with Brian Gain and Bill O'Brien going into this coming season when things were supposed to be a championship year, I am bummed out hearing you say that it's a two-year project. Again, it's like we're pushing it back.
Well, I said it was a two-year project for the offensive line.
Okay.
So that's where originally I thought that fixing the offensive line was going to take at least 2 years. I don't think they've made a whole lot of progress with that, other than maybe Martinez Rankin works out. Maybe Martinez Rankin, who they're very high on, ends up being a good player. Then they have made some progress towards that. This is where I am with it. By far, the most important thing in being consistently in the mix for a Super Bowl every single year is a quarterback. There is nothing that a defensive back will do for Deshaun Watson this year, other than perhaps, you know, making it a little bit easier. Sometimes they'll say, hey, a quarterback's best friend is a good defense. But for the most part, by and large, when it comes to the long-term development of Deshaun Watson, a stud cornerback drafted in the first round does you almost zero, whereas a stud offensive lineman potentially helps Deshaun Watson become an all-pro caliber quarterback. That's where I am with it. It's pure and simple. And there's this too. You might say, well, what if a bunch of the good prospects are gone at offensive tackle by the time you get to 23? You can't have an ego in this game. You can't somehow think that you're so smart that you can identify which guys are actually first round or which guys are actually second round offensive tackles. You got to take your best available option to help your quarterback. In an ideal world, you'd be taking best player available with your first round pick. You're not living in an ideal world right now. You have a potential all-pro caliber quarterback who's sitting out there naked to the world. You basically have him tied to the ground with honey on his chest with fire ants coming for him. You can't do that. You gotta break the rules a little bit. Best player available, my ass. You need to protect Deshaun Watson. That's where I am. I don't give a damn about any other position group on the team right now, other than everything I can do to protect Deshaun Watson.
They don't have to draft an offensive tackle at 23, but they do if Greedy Williams is not on the board. That's my one guy. If he's still on the board at 23 and Andre Dillard is not, I'm going to go with Greedy Williams. Otherwise, I agree with Seth. Offensive tackle is the way to go.
I think this Rockets team is better than last year's team, just for the record. I think they are, because in the playoffs last year, once the Rockets lost Mbah Mute, they were down to essentially seven guys they could play.
Right.
They played their starters, they played Gerald Green, and they were on a 6.5-7-man rotation in those games. Now, they have Daniel House. They have Austin Rivers. They have Kenneth Faried to go along with Gerald Green coming off the bench. They got nine guys that they feel comfortable with Nene if he gets back into the rotation. They don't need in these games for Harden to play 40 minutes. They can rely on their bench more.
That was our old friend Nick Wright on First Things First. Do you agree with Nick that the Rockets, are they a better team they were last year?
I don't go as far as agreeing with him completely, but it is important to point out that sometimes when people are comparing this team to last year's team, they're ignoring the actual roster composition in the playoffs, where you didn't have a healthy Bam Mute. Ariza was different. I think that Nene was gone. Like, it was not the same team that it was in the regular season. So I think this year's Rockets team is a lot closer to last year's team than people are giving them credit for. The biggest thing that concerns me, though, is just the overall lack of size compared to last year, and especially when you get into specific matchups in the playoffs. That's what I want to be able to beat teams in multiple fashions and multiple ways, and their lack of size really puts them into disadvantage in a lot of ways.
Defensively, who do they have that can challenge Kevin Durant? They don't have that, but I think they have less of that without Ariza. And I think
that's a big one for me.
I think Ariza's going to be felt. His absence is going to be felt in these playoffs. Not offensively, because he was wretched in the Western Conference Finals on that end of the court. But, I mean, that's a guy that gave you 42 solid minutes of defense a night.
I hope they're a better team than last year. I don't think they are right now, and they have a ways to go to prove it. They have the potential to be in the postseason, but it's not quite there because I don't think the defense is quite up to par as it was last season. I know they've been great on defense since the All-Star break. I need to keep seeing it in the postseason. So I hope I'm wrong about this. I don't think they're quite a better team than last season. Now, with that, the Golden State Warriors did lose last night. If you're just waking up, the Warriors had a 31-point lead, and they blew it to the Clippers in Game 2 at home. It is the largest comeback in the history of the NBA playoffs. Based on this, based on DeMarcus Cousins getting hurt last night, he might be out for the rest of the playoffs with a quad injury. Do you guys believe the Warriors are more vulnerable than ever? I think they are.
I think they are, and I think they already were before DeMarcus Cousins went down. I think that losing DeMarcus Cousins hurts them, but I think like the hay was in the barn in terms of this Warriors team being a little bit off this year. We saw that from the get-go. The fact that they've had as many awful losses at Oracle Center as maybe ever with this group, the fact that their mojo has gone a little bit, the fact that there's been so much drama surrounding this team, and then the fact they just don't have as much depth as last year, those have been the big issues. I think DeMarcus Cousins being gone will hurt them in several specific games, but overall it's not a huge, huge issue. But I think it really hurts them versus the Rockets.
Yeah, I think when you look at a team that does not have the ability to just beat the hell out of Clint Capella the way that they did the last time that they played against the Rockets, that hurts them. When you look at the fact that they just don't seem to be as focused as they have been in years past, which is natural given that they've been playing an extended season with all these playoff runs that they've had over the last couple of years, that makes sense too. They just don't feel as unbeatable as past Warriors teams.
I feel the same way. I'm actually way more excited this morning about the fact that they lost and the way they lost than I am about DeMarcus Cousins, because the Clippers drew blood last night. After last night, this is something that has ramifications in every home game the Warriors play, because now it doesn't matter what the scoreboard says, unless it's like really late. The Warriors don't have these games down on lock because the freaking Clippers, with basically, as Paul has mentioned, a bunch of sixth men with Harrell and Lou Williams, came back and won that game. Now the Warriors are vulnerable at home, and they are more vulnerable than they ever have been. That's where I stand right now, and I'm more excited now this morning about the playoffs.
What happens, what if the Rockets blow a 30-point lead versus the Jazz tonight? Is there mayhem in the streets?
Or yes.
Excuse me, tomorrow night. Is there mayhem in the streets?
Yes.
There is?
Absolutely.
I don't panic in that situation. I feel like this is the kind of thing that happens from time to time, especially in game two of the playoffs, where you look in game one like you're going to blow a team out of the water, easy sweep, and then all of a sudden that team comes back with its back against the wall and they come out slugging, and there you have it. This loss doesn't really move the meter to me as much as if they had actually lost like a close fought win. You have a 30-point lead, a 30-plus point lead, you relax, you mess up, and then all of a sudden you can't hit your shots, and that's what happens sometimes in the NBA.
Yeah.
I don't read as much into this as much as if they had been in with the Clippers the whole game.
Well, for me, the Jazz are a good enough team. I respect them a lot to where if the Rockets lost that kind of lead, yeah, I'd be panicked because I'd be thinking, oh my God, there's going to be like PTSD moving forward in the series. You never know if a game's fully over. If the Rockets were playing if they were playing like the Pistons in the playoffs, which I know would never happen, but if they were, I wouldn't be panicked. But against a viable team, I'd be panicked.
It's not possible for them to blow a 30-point lead against the Jazz. They don't have the horses.
Probably not. I think you're right. The big questions on a Tuesday, Mike, Seth, and Paul. Tomorrow night, the NFL schedule is finally released. 7 p.m. Be listening to your home of the Texans Sports Radio 610. We'll have the instance, the news, the analysis, sportsradio610.com for the full schedule as well. With the Texans and the NFL schedule release tomorrow night, what game will you have circled on the calendar when it comes out tomorrow night?
Patriots 100%, because damn it, sometime in my life I will see the Texans beat the Patriots in a game that counts and matters, in a year that matters. I need to see this. Will it be this year? Probably not. But I'm going to go watch Tom Brady in person every chance I get. The close second would be the Oakland Raiders, and it's exclusively because Justin Reed talked smack about Antonio Brown. I'm both excited and terrified of that matchup now. I'm worried that it's going to turn into one of these years where it's a disappointing year for Antonio Brown, but he goes off for like 300 yards versus the Texans. The T.Y. Hilton style. T.Y. Hilton. Like people in Houston, a lot of people in Houston don't even realize that T.Y. Hilton hasn't been all that awesome the last couple of years. He just torches the Texans, and that's what makes you think that, oh, he must have 2,000 yards receiving. I'm both excited and terrified of that Antonio Brown matchup.
I'm looking at when they play Kansas City and when they play New Orleans, and I am praying that those games are not for some reason stacked back-to-back, because good God,
that'd be tough.
That's brutal, because that's the two arguably most difficult places to play in the NFL are those two places, and you have to go on the road for both of those games.
That's a great point. I'm with Seth on this. It is the Patriots, because, damn it, it's time. It is time to beat the freaking Patriots. I cannot live in a world in which they keep losing to Brady and Belichick. I'm already feeling better about the world now that Tiger won the Masters on Sunday, but I cannot continue to live in a world in which the Texans keep losing to the Patriots. When this schedule comes out tomorrow night at 7 p.m., I am circling in red when they play the Patriots at home, and they have to win that football game. They have to win that game. Thank you very much.